Amen? Isn't that a good word? That came from the throne. That wasn't part of the message or anything. Father, we just exalt you, O God. We thank you for your word that was given to us, that we may know who you are and the plans that you have for our lives. And now, Father, we ask now that you would send your Spirit to rise up within us, your Ruach, that he would cause us and help us focus on what your word is going to be speaking to our minds, our hearts, and our spirits this day. We humbly come before you. We rejoice that we've been able to come into the house of the Most High God. And we now ask, O God, that even though you've chosen a certain one to give it today, that, Lord, that they would not just hear the voice, but they would hear your word. And it would penetrate the heart, the mind, the soul, and the spirit. And that all your people would be fed today by and through your word. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would give even better application than the voice that is speaking before them this day. That he would not only give application, but he would perfect it and cause it to go deep into our hearts, souls, and spirits as never before. That the glory of God shall be revealed as never before in our lives. We ask this humbly in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is Shamash, that is servant, number 28. So turn with me to the book of Genesis. The board said, say it in English first. Bereshit, Genesis chapter 14. This is going to be a quick review. Very, very quick. Because I know I have to be done by, what, 3 o'clock? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Alan says, yeah, I'll shut off the microphone. You know, it's funny. Have you ever watched the Academy Awards? And they're standing up there, and they're giving their speech, and they're so... they're so shocked, and they're just going like this, and they just don't know what to do. Some of them, they were looking for their speech and everything. Then all of a sudden, they say a couple words, thank mom and dad, and they can't think of anything, and all of a sudden, the microphone starts to disappear into the floor. So Alan's working out that technology, right, Alan? Amen. That would be good, right? So any of us long-winded preachers and teachers... finally, they'll do what the congregation wants them to do. Amen? Short and sweet sometimes. So, we're in Genesis chapter 14. And I'll get caught up with you right now. And verse 18. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a Kohen. That is the priest of El Elyon, God Most High. Just think about this. We just celebrated the Lord's feast with bread and grape juice. Close enough to wine. And this is what we've done. We participated in that. And we remembered our eternal high priest who is Yeshua. Let's continue. So he blessed him with these words. Who's being blessed here? Our father, Avram, Abraham. Later, some people told me that's in chapter 17. Yes, I agree. Right now it's Avram. But I can say in the future, his name is Avraham. He's gone from being exalted father to the name of the father of many nations. And you are part of those nations. Praise God. So let's continue. And he blessed him with these words. Blessed be Avram by El Elyon, God of the Most High. We sang that song today. Praise God. Maker of heaven and earth, blessed be El Elyon, who has handed your enemies over to you. Our father Avram received that. And I say this to you, by faith, you receive that now. Your enemies have been turned over to you. Amen? Let's continue. And Avraham gave him a tenth of everything. So the The Lord says, that's where you stop, Frank. Thank you. Now let us turn quickly to the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, or Messianic Jews, chapter 7. Page 1449, if you're going through or using the complete Jewish Bible. It's not 1449. I see where I made my mistake. We're in Hebrews chapter 7. And this would be page 1499. I put 49. You ever do that when you're typing? You hit the wrong key? I sure did. Hebrews 7, 1. This Melchizedek, king of Salem, a Cohen of God of Ha-Elyon, met Avraham. I can say that because it says it here. We're past Genesis chapter 17. On his way back from the slaughter of the kings, and he blessed him. Also, Avraham gave him a tenth of everything. Now, first of all, by translation of his name, he is this Melchizedek. He is called the King of Righteousness. And then he is also the King of Salem, which is present day Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, which means King of Peace. That's who we are serving, the King of Peace. Because what did Melchizedek say to Avraham? Avraham, our father. Back in Genesis 14, so I got to say his name correctly, right? Yes. He said, all your enemies have been turned over to you. So when our enemies are turned over to us and we place them underneath our feet, we are walking in the power and the authority of the King of Peace. Let's continue. There is no record of his father. Is that speaking of Avraham? No. It's speaking of this one high priest, Melchizedek, the high priest of El Elyon. He has no record of father or mother or ancestry, birth or death. Rather, like the Son of God, he continues as a Kohen, a priest for all time. Who can that be? But Yeshua wasn't a Levite. That's right. Let's read further. There we are. Verse 4. Just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Avraham gave him a tenth of his choice spoils. This is before the law. This is before the Brit Milah. Avraham, circumcision, before the law, he gave a tenth. Well, where'd that come from? The one who stood before him, Melchizedek, he was teaching and training him. Now, the scripture never tells us that they've ever met before. But I say this to you, they did meet before. Because who Melchizedek is? He is Yeshua, precarnate, before he was born of the Virgin Mary. Let's continue. Now the descendants of Levi, who became Kohanim, have a commandment in the Torah, this is the law, to take a tenth of income of the people, that is, from their own brothers, despite the fact that they too are descended from Avraham. But Melchizedek, even though he was not descended from Levi, see, he was prior to the law, prior to the Torah. Let's continue. Took a tenth from Avraham. How can this be? Is he now worshiping a false god? No. Who is this eternal high priest who explains to him who El Elyon is? That is Yeshua, the one who has led every person on the face of this earth to the full knowledge of God the Father. Yeshua declared, no one has seen the Father. No man, woman, or child has seen the Father. I have only seen him. Not the one, the voice that you're hearing speaking before you, but I'm saying that from the standpoint of Yeshua. Let's continue. How could he do this? The reason is he is Adonai Yeshua. Now you will not find that in your scripture verse there. The Lord, the Spirit of the living God, said, add this. Make it very, very plainly who this eternal high priest who has no mother or father, he has no family line whatsoever. This is Yeshua. Let's continue. Also, he blessed Abraham, the man who received God's promises. These promises came from whom? Melchizedek? No, they came from Adonai Yeshua. Let's continue. And it is beyond all dispute that the one who blesses has a higher status than the one who receives blessing. Amen? Let's continue. Moreover, in the case of the Kohanim, that's the priestly order, the tenth is received by men who die, while in case of Melchizedek, it is received by someone who is testified to be still alive. So I'd ask you this. According to the scripture, it tells us of two men who walked with God all the days of their lives, and they've never tasted death. And what are their names? Enoch and Eliyahu, Elijah. This Melchizedek is neither one of them. So who can it be? Let's continue. One might even go further and say that Levi, who himself receives tenths, paid a tenth through Avraham, insomuch as he was still in his ancestor Avraham's body when Melchizedek met him. Therefore, if it had been possible to reach the goal, and what is the goal? Eternal life in Messiah. That is our goal. Let's continue. Through the system of the Kohanim, derived from Levi, since in connection with it, the people were given the Torah. Here's the way you're to go. Here are God's commands. But has any man, woman, or child fulfilled them except Yeshua? No. The Torah was given to us that we may see Yeshua, identify who he is, and recognize that it is impossible for us to fulfill Torah. Let's continue. What need would be there have been for another? Different kind of Cohen, the one spoken of as to be compared with Melchizedek, and not to be compared with Aaron, that is Aaron. For if the system of the Kohanim is transformed, there must be of necessity occur a transformation of Torah. Let's continue. The one about whom these things are said belongs to another tribe. Okay, what tribe was Melchizedek from? We have no idea because he has no family tree. We don't know how to trace him. He has no mother or father. So who can this be? Let's continue. To the one about whom these things are said belongs to another tribe, from which no one has ever served at the altar. That's speaking about the Levite priests. Moshe received that it was only a Levite who could participate in the Mishkan, into the temple. They were the ones to bring the blood sacrifices. They were ones to bring all the different sacrifices and present them before God. Anyone else from any other tribe, no matter how holy and righteous your life was, if you entered into that place, you would be put to death. Right. Let's continue. For everyone knows that our Lord arose out of Yehuda, Judah. He wasn't a Levite. Let's continue. And that Moshe said nothing about this tribe when he spoke about the Kohanim. So how is Yeshua our eternal high priest? How is this Melchizedek a high priest of God without father or mother, with no lineage whatsoever, and he's still living today. Who can this be? Let's continue. It becomes even clearer if a different kind of Kohanim, like Melchizedek, who is Adonai Yeshua, arises, one who became a Kohen, not by virtue of rule of the Torah concerning physical descent, but by virtue of the power of an indestructible life. That is Yeshua. For it is stated, you are a Kohen, a priest forever, to be compared with Melchizedek. So, we have before you the evidence. You are now a jury, and you must decide. Who is Melchizedek? He is Yeshua. Precarnate, prior for him to be born of the Virgin Mary. Now let us turn back. You may be saying, this guy is so meshuggah. He goes one place, he goes another. We're to preach and teach the whole counsel of God. It is yes and amen from the beginning to the end. This book is an anointed book. And one line of scripture does not stand by itself. We build upon line, precept upon precept. Amen? So let's go back to the beginning. Not the very beginning, but now let us turn to Genesis chapter 14, verse 21 through 24. That's why it's so important when you enter the house of God that you honor His word by keeping it. This should be your most precious material gift. If your house was burning, grab the word of God, because this leads you to eternal life. Your gold, all your other stuff, that leads you from Him. If you keep that precious in your heart and you do not have His word precious, one day we're going to have to give an account for every word that is written in here. Think of the believers, the prophets who were murdered, and the apostles for our sakes. Their blood bought this book for us, along with Yeshua's blood. And one day when you stand in heaven and these prophets come before you and they open up and they say, come here, Talmudim. Frank brought you to kindergarten. I'm going to give you a master's degree in these books that the Spirit of Living God has written. Hallelujah. Amen? Just think about that. There's going to be schooling going on in heaven. Amen? Because I want to know everything that was written, every story that was told. I'm greedy that way. I'm very upset where there's a portion of Scripture that says, if everything that was written that Yeshua said and done, would not be enough books in the earth to fill that. And that's 3.5 years of full-time ministry. Amen? Let's get back to it. Yes, Lord. So now we're in Genesis chapter 14, verse 21. The king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the people and keep the goods for yourself. But Abraham answered the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand in oath to Adonai El Elyon, God of the Most High, the maker of heaven and earth, that I will not take so much as a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, so that you won't be able to say, I have made Abraham rich. Can you say that today? Is the Lord your provision? Is it the riches of God that you desire? Or is it stuff? Everything, my brothers and sisters, on this earth, whether we die or whether we're raptured, it's all staying here. And even this one precious gift, when I die, I'm not going to be able to hold on to this anymore. And if I'm raptured, I don't believe the Lord's going to allow this to go up into heaven with me. He's just taking me. Because I'm precious, you're precious in His sight. And we have to start realizing that. That is our prerogative, not stuff, but people. Let's continue. Yes, Lord. right in here. I will take only what my troops have eaten and share the spoil belonging to the men. Who were his troops? They were men, 318 men from his own household that he trained for war. Abraham was a peaceable man. Just like the nation of Israel. They want to live in peace with all their neighbors, but what's happening? Hasatan, the devil, stirs them up and wants them to attack 24/7. They want to live in peace, but their neighbors will not. And you know what's sad? The majority of the neighbors that want to put them to death are their own cousins. And it grieves the heart of Abraham to know this, that the descendants of Ishmael wants to destroy the descendants of Yaakov and Yitzhak and Abraham. It's a family fight. And it's sad. Because right now, the descendants of Ishmael are following after a false god. Abraham is praying that the Spirit of the living God will remove the veil from their eyes, because he wants each one of them to receive and know Yeshua as he did. Let's continue. Anir was one of the man's names. It was a sprout and a waterfall. It symbolizes growth and living waters. Eshcol, he's a cluster of grapes and a fruitful one. Mamre, he means strength. These were his allies. And you know what they were? They were Amorites. Wait a second. He was in covenant with Amorites? Yes. Because he was in covenant with them so that he could win them to know the one true God. That was his life and his testimony. And you may be saying, boy, brother, you're really embellishing here. I say this to you and I declare this to you. Our lives are to be lived out not for ourselves, but that the glory of the living God can be revealed and that they can see Yeshua and Yeshua only being lived out in our lives. And until that happens, we're playing games with God. And we're wasting God's time. I have only a certain amount of days on this earth. And how much time I actually spend allowing the Spirit of the living God living through me and Yeshua being revealed is all that matters. All this other stuff, it's all going to pass away. What matters is people. What matters is that you need to be, I need to be transformed into his image and likeness. And it's a process. As we're seeing our father of faith, he was not perfect. He had a lot of flaws. And that's what God is doing in each and every one of us. Turn with me now to the book of Matthew. That is Matthew chapter 1. And some of you may be saying, my goodness, I know what that is. He's going to be speaking now on about the genealogy of Yeshua. That's boring. Really? Really? You're going to be finding some fascinating things about the genealogy of Yeshua. The good news of Yeshua the Messiah is reported by, I added this, a tax collector. And he's bearing gifts. Are you kidding? That's unheard of. A tax collector bearing gifts? Yes. Matthew. Because what's happening April 15th in the United States? Our taxes are due, right? And that IRS man is the most, or woman, is most despised, right? But here's a tax collector that was redeemed. And if it wasn't for him going through the portion of being redeemed, we would not have the book of Matthew. Let's continue. This is the genealogy of Yeshua, HaMashiach, Ben David, that son of David, Ben Avraham. And as a Jewish believer, when you open up this book, because you've been told all your life that this is a book about Gentiles and about that Jewish man who betrayed us and started a brand new religion and called it Christianity. And when we read this, it's like, oh my goodness, I've just been slapped in the face by the Holy Ghost. The truth is now being revealed. This is a genealogy of Yeshua HaMashiach, son of David, son of Abraham. Avraham was the father of Yitzhak. What does Yitzhak's name mean? Laughter. Isn't it great? God's starting out, be careful, Frank, with a joke. He's laughing at Hasatan. He's taking a man that's 100 years old. He's taking a woman past the age of bearing children at age 90 and causing a miracle to happen. Because what did Avraham say when God said this to him? He began to laugh. What did Sarah say? She was laughing in the tent. And then when she came out, Yeshua, the angel of the Lord, said to her, "Why are you laughing?" "Oh, I wasn't laughing." But she was. And so when he was brought before the Lord, this child and dedicated, Avraham said, "His name shall be Yitzhak," which means laughter. Let's continue. Yitzhak was the father Yaakov. What does that mean? Heel catcher, heel grabber. But his name was changed to what? Yisrael, prince of Yahweh. And you know what the neighbors called him? He's the one that limps. Because why? He wrestled with an angel of the Lord, who I declare to you was Yeshua. Oh my goodness, you're really going out there, brother. Who was Yeshua, and he touched him. They wrestled all night long, and they touched him in the socket. And from that day forward, he limped as a reminder of his wrestling with God. He set up an altar the very next day, and he declared this, "I have seen God face to face, and I lived." Now, my brothers and sisters, I ask you this question. If that was just merely an angel, would not the Ruach, the Spirit of living God, reveal to Jacob that the one that he set up an altar to and dedicated his life was a false god, if it was not Yeshua? Looks like the son is going back to the ways of the fathers who walk by faith in idol worship, but he's never rebuked. Let's continue. Yaakov was the father of Yehuda. And what does Yehuda Judah mean? Praise. Praise God. And his brothers. Yehuda was the father of Peretz. And what does Peretz mean? Bursting forth. Wow. Have you ever read the genealogy of Yeshua and said, "Oh my goodness, I'll read this just one time in my lifetime, Lord. Just like the book of Leviticus, I'll just go through it. Then I can stand before you and say, yes, I've read the entire scripture from Genesis through Revelation." Let's continue. Peretz was the father of Hezron. What does Hezron mean? Yahweh is high and exalted. Wow, I never saw that before, and neither did I. Let's continue. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Abinadab. But I got to go up here. The Lord said, "No, you go back." It says that Yehuda was the father of Peretz, and I'm glad you have your Bibles so you can go back with me. Zerach, whose name means shining or risen. And let's not forget about the ladies. Their mother was Tamar. And what does her name mean? Palm tree. Palm tree. A place of rest. A place of refreshment. And who was Tamar? She was Judah's daughter-in-law, who later came Yeshua, the royal King of kings and Lord of lords. Let's go back. Now we're down to the father. Ram was the father of Aminadab. And what does his name mean? My kinsman is a noble royal. This is speaking of Yeshua, the eternal high priest and king, for he was both a king and a priest. Now we go to Aminadab was the father of Nahshon. Nahshon was the father of Salmon. And a lot of you ladies may like this. I'm going to pick on the ladies. You know what his name means? Clothing. That's what his name means, clothing. Let's continue. That you may be clothed in the righteousness of God. Let's continue. Solomon was the father of Boaz. What was Boaz's name? It means quickness and strength. And who was he married to? Rahab. Boaz was married to Rahab. This Bible's incorrect then. Solomon, yes, you're correct. Yep, I skipped. Thank you. Solomon was the father of Boaz. His mother was Rahab. And you know what her name means? Broad. And you may say, well, that's kind of slang. Because a lot of people say, well, she was the harlot. But what broad means is this. She had an open mind. So remember, Torah scholars, what was happening? She was living in the wall of Jericho, and there were some spies that came in. She heard about the miracles of God, that God had delivered the Jewish people, along with the Gentiles who came along with them, along with the Egyptians that came along with them, who were revealed to them the one true God. If you read the scripture closely, you'll see it is there. It's always been Jew and Gentile from the very beginning. Amen. And it's continuing today. Look around you. You see Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah. So let's continue. Thank you for your correction on that. Boaz, his name means quickness and strength. He was the father of Oved. What does Oved mean? Worshipper and servant. What does Ruth or Ruth mean? Broad-minded. What does it mean? That's the one that I forgot to write in here, and I apologize. Oved was the father of Yishai, which is Jesse. His name means upright. Yishai was the father of David. What does David mean? Beloved of God. That's who you are. Do you remember the song we used to sing? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that knows God is born of God. You know what I would be singing? I'd be singing David every time when they said beloved or love. I kept singing, and some of my Christian friends started looking at me and saying, why are you saying that? I said, well, if you look in the original Hebrew language, David means beloved or loved. So let's continue. David was the father of Shlomo. Who's that? Solomon. And what does his name mean? Peaceable. Or as Rocky would say, Yo, Shlomo. I know that's bad. His mother was the wife of Uriah. What does Uriah mean? Yahweh is light, or Yahweh is my light. Let's continue. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam. What does his name mean? Broad and open-minded. Next one. Abijah. What does his name mean? My father is Yahweh. Let's continue. Abijah was the father of Asa. What does Asa mean? Healer. So when Yeshua was healing the blind Bartimaeus, people were saying, look at that. There goes a healer. There goes an Asa. And who did Yeshua descend from? Asa, a healer. Let's continue. Jehoshaphat, what does his name mean? Yahweh has judged righteously. Isn't that beautiful? Let's continue. Jehoshaphat was the father of Joram. What does his name mean? Yahweh is exalted. Hey, there's Joram. He just came in through the door. And everyone says, Yahweh is exalted. Praise be to God. How'd you like that to be your name? Let's continue. Some of you may be thinking, well, I got some really neat names for my grandbabies coming up. And some of us may put it as our middle name. Let's continue. Uzziah. What does that mean? Yahweh is my strength over every difficulty in my life, no matter what I face. Let's continue. Jotham. What does his name mean? Yahweh is perfect. There's nothing else I want to seek after in my life because I have him. And if I have him as my most cherished possession, I have perfection. And what is he doing to us? He's perfecting us into the image and likeness of his son, who is Yeshua, whose genealogy that we're focused on right now. Let's continue. Jotham was the father Ahaz. And what does his name mean? Yahweh sustains. Let's continue. Hezekiah, what does his name mean? Yahweh is the one who causes me to walk in strength. Manasseh, what does his name mean? The one who causes forgetfulness. That's how we are to be when our brother and sister offends us and we go to them meekly and ask them and point it out to them. And then they come and they produce fruits of repentance and we become Manasseh. One who causes forgetfulness. For what has the Lord declared? I cast your sins so far away from you, and I remember them no more. Let's continue. Ammon. His name means trustworthy. Josiah, what does his name mean? Yahweh supports. Continuing. Jeconiah, what does his name mean? Yahweh will establish. Or Yahweh raises me up. Let's continue. After the Babylonian exile, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. What does Jeconiah mean? It means request. I request of the Lord. Let's continue. Shealtiel, what does his name mean? That which is desired of Yahweh. Zerubbabel, what does his name mean? Now this is after the Babylonian captivity. This is what his name means. Zerubbabel is called the seed of Babylon. He is Messiah-like. He is the prince of Judah, who oversaw the building of the second temple, the rebuilding of it, and who led the tribe of Judah back, the very first tribe, to return to the promised land after being in the exile. To the promised land did he go. The next one, Abiud. His name means, my Abba is majesty. My father is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's continue. Elohim. What does his name mean? Yahweh has taken possession. There are people who have said this brother or this sister have been possessed by demons. When you become a child of God, of the Most High El Elyon, you become his possession. You are possessed by the Spirit of the living God. You become the apple of his eye. That's how precious you are to him. And he will not allow any temptation to come against you that he's already given you the grace and the power and the strength to overcome. Amen? Let's continue. Azur, his name means helper. Continuing. Zadok, what does that mean? Righteous. Yakin means woes or troubles. Zoresis. Yakim, Yahweh, raises up woes. Yahweh will establish woes. He is our judge. He judged righteously on our behalf. Continuing. Eliud, God Yahweh is my praise. Shall never cease from my lips all the days of my life. Let's continue. Eleazar, what does this mean? God Yahweh is my help. Help in every aspect of my life. Let's continue. Eleazar was the father of Matan. Matan means Yahweh's gift. That's who you are. In his life and in his presence, you are his precious gift. That's who you are. Let's continue. Matan was the father of Yaakov. Wait a second. Two heel grabbers in one family? Is it possible? Yes. But he became Yisrael, the prince of Yahweh. And now let's get down to these names. Yaakov was the father of Yosef. You know what his name means? May God Yahweh add. And the Lord said, write this down after add. May God, Yahweh, add Yeshua. Here was a man who was betrothed to a young woman, a virgin. And then all of a sudden, she shows up pregnant. Okay? Here was a man who had a heart after God. And he did not want to put her away publicly. That would be stoning. Imagine this, my brothers and sisters. Here is Miriam carrying the Yeshua, salvation, in her womb. If Yosef, the one here that says, Yahweh added Yeshua, may God add him, would have taken her before the villagers and said, this woman has broken the contract. We were betrothed to one another. We're supposed to remain as virgins to one another. But now she is pregnant. What would natural man say? She has betrayed him. But what he decided on his own heart and conscience was this. He was going to put her away quietly. Satan wanted the law to be enforced. And imagine this, my brothers and sisters. There was a woman caught in adultery. And the village people were ready to stone her. And who knelt down and started writing in the sand? And he declared to them, those who are without sin, now cast the first stone. You don't think that Yeshua knew about what happened before he was born? He had the full knowledge of who he was as he was growing. He was God manifested in human flesh. Let's continue. Yosef was a husband of Miriam. And many times I've looked up this name, Miriam. It has come up as bitter. But the Lord said, this is what her name means. Love by Yahweh. Love by God. Love by the Father. I'm not getting gross right now. But the Spirit of the living God came upon her and she was impregnated. Do not allow that to be a filthy thought in your mind. That was a holy thing. That was sovereign God. Bringing the promise, see, that he gave the promise to Hava, and now he's establishing through one single man, Avraham. Because Avraham recognized this promise, and he walked therein. And that's why he entreated of the Lord and said, Lord, I need to have a son. Eliezer from Damascus, he will be my heir. But the Lord said to him, no, from your own body shall descend a son. And he shall be the one that in future shall be the promised seed. And that's this, what this whole genealogy is about. The baton is being passed from one to another, from one king to another, as we continue here. And what we find right here, that Joseph, he is not the king of Israel, but he's still of the kingly line. So the prophecy still is going to be fulfilled. Although Rome was in power, and Satan thought, oh, I have a victory here. There's no way that Yahweh God can bring about the Messiah. Give me a break. Who's he dealing with? Let's continue. Her name means loved by Yahweh and also plump. And I looked at the word plump and I started to laugh. I started to think of Yitzhak. Because when a woman has a plump stomach, what does that mean? She's pregnant. So look at her name. Her name means loved by Yahweh, and from that relationship, by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, this is a holy thing, she became plump and pregnant. Let's continue. For whom was born Yeshua? And what does Yeshua's name mean? Yahweh is salvation. Is, not maybe, could be, should be, hope to be, but is salvation. What a family line, right? So there are 14 generations from Avram to David, 14 generations from David to the Babylonian exile, and 14 generations from the Babylonian exile to Messiah. Here is how the birth of Yeshua the Messiah took place. When his mother Miriam was engaged to Joseph, before they were married, she was found to be pregnant from the Ruach HaKodesh, that is the Holy Spirit, from none other. Her husband-to-be, Joseph, was a man who did what was right, and so he made plans to break the engagement quietly rather than to put her to public shame. But while he was thinking about this, an angel of Adonai appeared to him. This angel was not Yeshua. Why? Because he was dwelling in Miriam's womb. This is a different angel. This is an angel of the Lord, but this is not the angel of the Lord. In Scripture, when it declares that this is the angel of the Lord, that is Yeshua being manifest. And what does angel mean? Messenger of Yahweh. Who was sent to be the exact example in the flesh of the Father, but Yeshua, the angel, the messenger of the Lord. Not an angel. This isn't Gabriel, or Michael, Michael. Isn't it amazing that there are many, many angels, but there are very, very few times when their names are given? For who stood before Joshua before he was ready to go up against Jericho? He's terrified. He shook. Because there was the angel of the Lord. And who did he say he was? He was the captain of Zavaot, the Lord of hosts. Who was that? That was Yeshua, precarnate, before he was born of the Virgin Mary. What does Marty Goetz sing? And he'll be singing this song here. He is my defense. Amen? From the very beginning, the revelation, who shaped our father Adam from the clay? It was not the father, it was Yeshua. It's Yeshua from the very beginning. It says in the scripture, nothing was ever made if not in and through and by him. It's not speaking of the Father, it's speaking of Yeshua. All power and authority, he declared, has been given to me by the Father, that I may proclaim who he is, what his character, what his heart, what his mindset is. And what is that? That is to seek after the apple of his eye, which is you. And why do we exist on this earth? So that we may manifest who Yeshua is to every man, woman, and child. And if we're not about our Father's business, he's going to declare before us this. We may walk up to him and say, well, we prophesied in your name. We did miracles. We did healings in your name. And what does the scripture say? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Why? Because we were not walking in relationship and fellowship. We did not hear the shepherd's voice. And we did not walk in step with him. It says in the scripture that there will be people amazed in heaven. When Yeshua stands up before the assembly of all the people who have ever lived, are standing before him. And then he starts to call out your name. And you go to the left or to the right. He's going to be separating the sheep and the goats. And my brothers and my sisters, I say this to you right now. We need to work out our salvation, our Yeshua. Work out with him. With fear and trembling. Fear not that we're going to be a castaway, but fear in fearing him over all relationships. Do you love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? And do you love your neighbor as yourself? Are you willing to sacrifice everything so that his kingdom may be established? Messianic Judaism is a waste of time if not we're not building the kingdom of Yeshua. And once Messianic Judaism or Christianity goes away from that, Ichabod is written over the door. The glory of the Lord has departed. God is calling out a holy remnant. Are you his holy remnant? You are if you hear his voice and you walk therein. Let's continue. But while he was thinking about this, an angel of Adonai appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Miriam, who is loved by Yahweh and plump and pregnant. Okay? And what does his name mean, Yosef? May God, Yahweh, add Yeshua. Let's continue. Yosef, son of David, do not be afraid to take Miriam home with you as your wife. Honor her, cherish her. Husbands, do you honor and cherish your wives? Wives, do you honor and cherish your husbands? If you do not, that's an abomination in the eyes of the Lord. And Satan wants to tempt you to walk in sin. Because if you don't cherish the one that the Lord has joined with you in that covenant as one, two becoming one flesh. There's temptation, my brothers and sisters, that are coming upon this earth that has never been seen before. It's time to stop playing games. Miriam, take her home as your wife, for what has been conceived in her is from the Ruach HaKodesh. What has been conceived in her is holy. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty. Amen? That was what it was conceived in her. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him. Notice, Yosef doesn't get a choice. Miriam doesn't get a choice. But you're to name him what? Yeshua. Yahweh is salvation. Let's continue. This is getting better because it's the word of God. She will give birth to a son, you're to name him Yeshua, which means Adonai saves. Because he will save his people from their sins. Some people get upset in a congregation when they don't see healings going on. You know what's the greatest healing? Is when a sinner is saved by God's grace. Jesus died upon the stake for what? To save us from our sins. When we take communion, do we take that so that we can get healed? No, so that our sins are washed away. What separates us from the presence and the revelation of God? Our sins. That's why Yeshua came. Let's continue. Because he will save his people from their sins. All this happened in order to fulfill what Adonai had said to the prophet. A virgin shall will conceive and bear a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. That means God is dwelling within your bodies. Is his temple there? Is his throne over your heart, mind, soul, and spirit? Does he have control? Does he have authority over our thoughts, over our actions? Over everything we own. Does he possess us and everything we own? If he is not Lord of all, then he is not Lord at all. If he's not King of kings and Lord of lords, then you're lying to yourselves. Let's continue. That means Emmanuel, God is with us. When Yosef awoke, he did what the angel of Adonai had told him to do. Are we willing to do what the scriptures say, even though it offends our flesh and disappoints our relatives? Let's continue. But he did not have sexual relationships with her until she had given birth to a son and named him Yeshua. Yosef, I wrote this in here. This is where I'm going to end. Yosef cherished the child of Yahweh growing inside her. It was Yeshua, salvation. Salvation of the Jews first, and the people and the nations. Joseph chose to cherish Miriam. And that's a holy thing. That's holy. And just as God's word is holy, so are you holy. But you know what the enemy tells us? We're worthless. We're not worth the time. You are the apple of the Most High God. You are precious unto him. Because if he sent his most precious relationship, who was Yeshua, to come and die upon that stake for us, that we may be purchased, what value do you have to him, to Abba, the Father? Brother Patrick, if you want to come and close for us.